getting away from the actual house might be good, too. Because you start to associate. It's like eating in bed, almost. It's like you don't want to, like, have a sandwich in bed because you're like, that's where I sleep.
Right.
It's just like, maybe you don't, like, oh, maybe I'm associating my home with, like, just home life and work.
It's
and
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And
hotel would read, like, more, like, intimacy.
It's true.
That's a good
point. And you can mess up someone else's sheets.
Exactly.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. If you're someone who had substandard sex ed as a young person, I think that's all of us, you're going to love this throwback episode with Gil Ozeri. He's a comedian, actor, and writer for the very popular show Big Mouth. Growing up with adults who avoided the sex talk like the plague, Gil discusses the shame that can result. Shame a lot of us still carry. That shame is sneaky. That's why Big Mouth, now in season 5 on Netflix, takes the awkward experience of adolescence and demystifies it, and helps all of us get the answers we wish we'd gotten back then, while also being super funny. If you've got a young person in your life, well, this episode is a must listen. Gil and I take a dive into our hormonal teen years and talk about how to make sex ed more relatable and tips for post-baby sex, because why not? I also take your questions, how to give a better blowjob, how to make FaceTime sex hot, and how to get your sexual connection back after the spark has died. Intentions with Emily for each episode. Join me in setting an intention for the show. So what do you want to get out of this episode? How could it help you? I do it too. Well, my intention is to share an insightful conversation which shows how we can make sex education useful and fun for all. Please rate and review Sex with Emily wherever you listen to the show. And my new article, Ask Emily, How Do I Tell My Partner I've Been Faking Orgasms, is up at sexwithemily.com. Also, check out my YouTube channel for more sex tips and advice. If you want to ask me questions, leave me your questions or message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily, or call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX, or 559-825-5739. Always include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Oh, totally cool to change your name if you want to remain anonymous. All right, everyone, enjoy this episode. Gil Ozeri is an American comedian, actor, writer, producer, and artist, best known for his work on Big Mouth, Human Resources, #BlackAF, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Happy Endings. You can find him at GilOzeri.com, on Instagram at TallGilOzeri, and on Twitter and TikTok at GilOzeri.
Hi, Gil.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited that you were able to come in because we're all obsessed.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And I'm very happy to be here.
Good. Well, it's great to see you. So for people who haven't seen Big Mouth, how would you explain Big Mouth?
I would say it's a show about some kids who are going through puberty, and some of them are having a harder time than others. Basically, the conceit of the show is that they can talk to their hormone monsters and monstresses who often have direct them as to how to behave. And it's about dealing with that and dealing with puberty and dealing with all types of things that you sort of deal with around that age, around seventh grade.
Exactly. Yeah. It takes you right back. It's animation, animated.
Animated, series. Yes.
And so, first of all, it's everything that, you know, we talk about in the show, but it's hilarious. But it does take you back to those moments. And like the hormone monster, to me, what a brilliant way to describe to boys in seventh grade who don't know why they're getting erections and how awkward that has to be.
Exactly.
Or for women having their hormone monster, why do you hate your mom, and like why do you hate everyone and scream and yell, and like just and your boobs are growing and all the things that happen. And I just thought, this is probably the most brilliant thing I've ever seen about sex ed for kids. And what do you think about parents showing it to their kids? Do you think it I feel like they should at a certain age.
I mean, I've heard, you know, how awkward it might be to be watching that, but I think the show is for young people too, and also for adults, and how to talk to their kids and stuff. And if parents can watch it with their kids and get through some of those like hard subjects, then that would be great. That
right.
would be awesome.
Because that's the thing, is so many parents always come to me, friends, people on the show, they're like, how do we talk about it? And I know
right.
I had terrible sex ed. I barely, all I remember is some kid raises his hand and said, can you have sex underwater? Like, that's literally all I remember and nothing else. And then probably like the fallopian tube.
Yeah, I feel like no one ever spoke, like sex ed was really, no one ever spoke to me about that stuff, especially my parents did not. It was like, avoid the subject. And, you know, part of that leads to, and something that we deal with in the second season of Big Mouth is like shame and guilt over this stuff.
Right.
And just talking about it, you know, it makes it easier to deal with.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, it is true. I mean, and now, like, so what I'm doing now for a living is I take calls from people who are still carrying that shame. A lot of us have shame around everything we do. Every time we have sex, we masturbate, we feel bad. And so it comes. And then what I love is on Big Mouth is that it shows exactly how that starts, you know, that you feel just takes one person saying like, I can't believe you masturbated or you had an erection.
Right.
Or her boobs get big. And you literally carry, I always say that you carry this around for the rest of your life unless you realize that it's normal. It's like everyone else. There's nothing to be shame, you know. Shame
yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of this season we started to listen and read and watch videos from people like Brené Brown who talk about, like, you know, the difference between shame and guilt, and like how guilt is like I feel bad and shame is I am bad, and how you can sort of turn all these terrible feelings that people put on you on yourself. And the only way to sort of really deal with that is to talk about them with your friends,
right?
And talk about them with your parents and your loved ones. I wish Big Mouth was around when I was a kid. I would, you know,
I
feel like I would be a more well-adjusted human being.
Exactly. I mean, because that one scene in the second season when they're all, it's amazing when they're, I think you, did you write the final episode?
I wrote the finale, yeah.
The finale,
yes.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
That was so freaking
Well, I should say, when I say write it, it's also like the writer's room.
It's everyone.
It's everyone.
Okay, but your name came up first. So what I'm saying is, that scene, I literally rewatched it. I was with my boyfriend. I'm like, I do this when I get excited. I'm like, this is fucking brilliant. Because it's like, all the kids are like in the gymnasium. I might butcher it. But they're all having their shame about something. Like, I'm worried that no one likes me because I said this thing.
Right.
I'm worried that I was flirting with this girl, or maybe I shouldn't have kissed this boy, and every single person had like this dark cloud of shame around them.
Right.
Which to me, like, was just brilliant to show that, like, all the things that we worry about. And as adults, we do that as, you know, we've all been to parties and had things we're worrying about.
We're all susceptible to it, too.
We are all susceptible. Yeah. It was just a brilliant way of handling it.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So what else is going on with you?
I'm, you know, writing. I just had a kid. Yes,
okay.
A baby.
Congratulations.
Thank you
what
very
kind?
Much. A good kind.
Good.
A
awesome.
Sweet kind.
Good.
She's not the devil incarnate, which is good.
Okay, good.
She's sweet. Her name is Nina. She's very cute. She just started walking.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, that changes everything.
She likes to move stuff around the house, you know, from one side of the house
like
to
the furniture?
Another. actually, yes. She pushes our coffee table all over the house.
<She does.
laughs> So, yeah. We don't want it moved, but
no. Right. But I thought maybe she has a penchant for decorating. Like, that'd be cool if you found out it won. So how
exactly.
has that been? So how long have you been with your wife?
I have 10 years.
Good.
Yeah, at least 10 years.
That's okay. Great.
That's good, right?
So how's your sex life going now?
It's good. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's good. You know,
you change after
it's,
you have a kid.
Yes, that definitely affects stuff. There's less time. And I would say that at the end of the day, I'm pretty much exhausted, and so is she. So, like, to get it going is a lot harder.
It takes more effort.
It definitely takes more effort. Yeah.
Because
what do you think? Do you hear about that often, about effort and
every
stuff?
Single
I'm sure.
day?
Yeah.
I mean, now we're probably going to get a bunch of calls about that, which is great because I've only been here 3 nights. But we talk a lot about this because what happens is, I think, like, you have a kid, and people don't tell you this that like, yeah,
they don't tell you anything,
literally nothing.
Can I curse on here or no?
Yeah, fuck yes.
They don't say jack shit.
No.
I mean, I feel like even about the birth process, they didn't tell us anything. And then it's just like, I just feel like every day I'm like, this is how it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I had no idea. Right. So then the thing about when it comes to, like, but parenting, you're exhausted. And then women, they go in from the hospital and their doctor will say, like, oh, you'll be good in 6 weeks to have sex again.
Yes.
And for so many women, that's just not the case. They still have pain. Things are still healing.
Yeah, I don't think I'd be, you know, selling out my or exposing my wife. She has a lot of like foot pain and stuff.
Yeah.
And like it just, you don't want to do necessarily anything like
sexual if you're if you have like a ton of pain, and no one is like, no one told us that that might be a possibility.
Do you think that's like a secret, like someone's holding, they don't tell people because they want you to procreate, it's really hard, but you know, it's also the best thing ever.
But no, it is, but I think they don't want to scare you,
right?
Once you're pregnant, it's not, it's just like you don't want to like onslaught of like fears and
your sex life will never be the same.
Yeah,
but that's not true. It will be, it'll come together again, or maybe it already is, but I just think that we don't talk about how women's bodies change. And that just that whole process that, you know, a lot of women, we were talking about this earlier, they don't even know their own bodies. And I'm not saying this, I don't know your wife, but I'm saying typical for women, they don't even know that. I was encouraging people because on my Instagram today, it's at Sex with Emily. On my Instagram, I had this post about women, just take a look. Like, take a look at your, could you pick your vagina out of a lineup? Because we don't often don't want to look, we're disconnected, and we, it's just like, ugh, I just, I don't understand my body. And then you get a baby.
Right.
You have like a human that goes through your body. Right. And then a whole human. And then you get your body back. And you're like, well, I didn't know before.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I don't even know what's
happening. It's scary to do. And it's like, it's easier to avoid stuff than to actually put in the effort. And I feel like, you know, if you can get over that hump.
Yeah.
And just sort of put the practice in, then it becomes easier.
It is.
It's hard to get over that hump.
It really is. For couples who are going through this, like, even if intercourse is uncomfortable sometimes or they're not ready yet, that you can still, the intimacy is important. So even if you guys are like mutually masturbating or massage.
Right. So. Yeah. Anything you can sort of do to get close. Like it's so easy also to like have like a hard day and be like, I'm just going to totally veg out on my phone or I'm going to like go right to a, you know, a TV show or whatever it is. And if you just sort of connect for a moment, and who knows where it would lead.
Yeah.
But like if you use that, you know, that moment to connect and say like, I'm gonna set aside this time for us as opposed to like just checking out.
Exactly.
You know, then it makes a huge difference, I think.
It does. Just to have that moment, you come home, you put down your phone, or like, you like, you're right, just that moment, you make eye contact.
Yeah, because there's nothing you want more than like, you know, especially with a kid, I feel like you're like constantly, you have to always pay attention. It's not like, that's part of the work is just like mentally, you have to be like, okay, I have to make sure she doesn't fall off anything.
Exactly.
Like, you know, 24 7. So like you just want to like veg out, and if you can sort of like say like, okay, I know I need at least at some point to connect, you know, with her or with your loved one or whatever, your
The baby and the love.
With my wife, it's like it's so important to to check in.
It's also important. I'm just giving you advice here. No, but forever.
I'll take it.
I will, because no, I don't.
Maybe we'll use it on a future season
of
Big Mouth.
Oh, my God.
There's something to say about effort, though, too, like putting in an effort and making sure you're there.
Right. And prioritizing your relationship, because I think people think that it's just magically work and that you don't have to work on the relationship. Well, because we got married and we're in love, so let's focus on everything else. This is my other point. For people with kids, I find this a lot, that they have kids and they're like, my kids are 10 and we've never had a night away, just the two of us.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have relatives or someone who can watch, and I know you're like, I can't leave the kid when she's one.
Right.
But having just one night, like a hotel room away is
makes
really
it makes a huge difference. Yeah. I have not done the hotel room thing, and we should. I mean, we're hopefully going on vacation soon, but I mean, we've gone on like movie dates, but like, getting away from the actual house might be good, too.
Because
you start to associate. It's like eating in bed, almost. It's like you don't want to like have a sandwich in bed because you're like, that's where I sleep.
Right.
It's just like, maybe you don't like, oh, maybe I'm associating my home with like just home life and work.
It's
and
true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And
hotel would read like more like intimacy.
It's true.
That's a good
point.
And
you can mess up someone else's sheets.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And someone else is going to bring you food.
Yes.
Yeah, and you're just changing the location, because one of the big things for people's sex life often is that is mixing things, is variety. Like,
oh,
we
totally
get bored of everything, right?
Yeah.
You do. So just trying one thing different or changing up the location. Because, your bedroom's probably like diapers and things. And
exactly.
Going over
laundry. Yeah.
That's not hot.
Stains.
So.
Exactly. You know, from like kids eating blueberries.
Exactly. Right. The whole thing is a mess. Right. So we're going to have you go to a hotel. That's fun. We didn't give you a night hotel, but that would be fun.
But you should start putting that in gift.
I'm sorry. I'll
Where's my car? I should get a car in the gift bag.
Exactly. We had a guy just call in and he said that he's like, I don't know. I bought my wife a really nice car, and I told her if I gave this car that she owed me 5 blowjobs, and it's
what?
Been 2 years and I haven't gotten them.
So it's a transaction.
Yeah, I'm like, did you know this?
Love is a transaction.
Exactly. I'm like, love should not be a transaction.
Yeah.
So Yeah. So that's what I thought. So what else are you doing these days? So you're writing.
I'm writing
a lot.
How
is that? Like, do you write at home? You go to an office?
I usually go to a coffee shop. I find it extremely hard to, I should get like an office or something, but I find it really hard to concentrate at home. There's just so many distractions and I'm like, there's my baby. There's video games. There's like my wife. I'll just have a conversation because I don't want to work, you know, like.
Right. Exactly. No, so you got
to
get out of the house.
I feel like I have to get out.
So who do you relate to in there? Like which kid were you more like? Were you more like, what is it, Andrew or Nick?
Nick. Part of me was like, try to be funny. So in a way like Nick, but also very much Jesse, who I find to be like my favorite character.
Jesse.
Jesse. Just so because my parents got divorced, you know, around her age, and the way she sort of acted out because of it is something that I went through, and how she sort of slipped into, you know, depression and stuff like that, and so that sort of, I really really connected with her character.
Yeah, she's,
you know,
such a good character.
Oh,
right.
Thanks.
So
yeah,
you,
yeah, yeah.
How you handled the depression scene, that was also in the final episode.
That was
right?
That was, yes. Could that was.
Okay, we talked about the next day, because the how she had the weight of the world.
Exactly.
Literally depression on her as a kid, and like how that feels. Like, I want to get up, but I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
and how alluring it is.
Yeah.
And how alluring she makes it about, like, watching, you know, a Friends marathon and eating, like, you know, ice cream in bed and stuff. And
this is really good.
Yeah, it's really good. And oftentimes it could be seductive, you know, as opposed to this, for example, the shame wizard, who makes you just feel bad about yourself, like, or you might not want to come with him or hold his hand on the way there. With like the depression kitty, it felt like it's someone you sort of were like, is alluring, and it looks better than it actually is,
right.
You know,
at first too, you're like, oh, Ben and Jerry's is great for dinner, I love it, it makes you feel so good, and then you're like, you can't get up. And that was the other, it was like the divorced parents or the mixed marriages, the adopted child, just all the, you could just relate to all, you guys. I feel like you really covered everything, and it is relatable. And I remember, like, when I was 15, this is something that my mom, and this kind of pisses me off, but I've had a lot of therapy, so I've told her about this. But I was a 15-year-old girl who was like screaming at my mom, I hate you,
right.
Slamming the door. I was really,
why did that
Jessie
happen? Were
well.
You were you guys like,
well, my parents were divorced.
Okay.
Remarried.
How did that, was that hard on you?
Please.
Was it like an amicable?
Oh my
no.
God. Yeah, the whole thing. My parents, I attended 4 of my parents' weddings before I was 25. So they each got married, divorced, married, divorced. And my parents first got divorced when I was 9.
I hope you liked like hot dog weenies, if you went to 4 weddings.
Oh, right. They weren't fun weddings. No, they didn't even have hot dogs. I wish that would have been fun. No, but even as a kid though, the first, and then my dad died. There was a lot going on, but I'd say I was 9 when my parents got divorced. And it was, it was just tough. And I remember, but I think what happened when I was 15 was more about just hormones. That's
right.
What I love is that my mom was like, you were such a nightmare when you were 15. I'm thinking, well, you guys got divorced and then you got remarried and I have hormones.
And it's hormones. It's like, it's like a
you?
Storm of shit that happens.
Exactly.
I was an angry kid. Like, my dad sort of, you know, left at that point and exactly at that age. And I was going through like puberty and I was like, I was angry. I didn't know how to direct this anger that I had at my father. And I, you know, I was with my mom and sort of took it out on her. So our relationship kind of like was really tough for a while. It's hard because if you're not talking about it with someone, you know, it's just, it's really tough.
Right. And most people don't.
Plus your parents have their own shit that they're going through.
Well, right.
So like, you know,
my mom was, she was trying to get down with another partner, like my stepdad. She was trying to make that work.
Right.
So
exactly.
They can't be available to you.
Yeah.
But you don't know that, and you don't know anything that's going on.
And you don't know to ask for help either. It's a thing. And I think that's something we sort of tried to focus on with Jesse there, is that in order to get out of that sort of depression room, that she has to ask her friends
for help. It's just so well done. I feel like we still don't teach emotion, the kids, how to regulate emotions and how to share emotions. Like, there was a guy we talked to on one of our shows earlier who was saying that he actually wanted to be the guy in his group that started talking about emotions with his guy friends, because guys don't do it as much.
Yeah, no.
So
there's also that. There's like societal stuff that's just like added upon it. It's just like, it's really hard to just be open.
I know, we can't. We're going to be shamed. Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was really good. See, now you're going to be so equipped to teach that sex ed to your daughter too.
Oh my God. I'm learning all the time. We've also had like people like Peggy Orenstein come talk to us, and I don't know if you know Shafia Zaloom. Do you know about her?
I know Peggy, but not Shafia.
She's also like a brilliant health educator, sex ed educator. And she talks about like consent and stuff like that. And, you know, we did an episode about consent. And we talk to like young people also all the time about like what they're going through and what it's like to be a teenager now, because things have changed with like social media and stuff. And, you know, it's always good to speak to people who are like in the know and dealing with it. Yeah.
No, that's really great that you book. Yeah, Peggy Ornstein, her book Girls, but she was a consultant on it, right? Just, that book blew my mind. Yeah. What kids are going through now, like in every
it's so much. I'm like, this is so much harder than what I went through too.
Right,
like,
and we thought it was hard, but it's like terrifying.
It's terrifying.
The pressure and the sex and all the things. Yeah. So thank you for your work. It's brilliant. We love it. I think everybody.
I love to hear that.
It's brilliant. Big Mouth on Netflix. I think, you know, take a look if you're a parent, see if you think it's appropriate for your kid,
and if you want to laugh too.
If you want to laugh your ass off. Here was the other brilliant thing: is that I thought it was equally great for adults and kids. You could see, I'm like, oh, that was a joke for me, that the kids might not get it. All of it. I'm impressed. So, and if people want to find you, do you want to like give out your social and stuff?
I'm on at Gilozeri on Twitter, and at Gilozeri was not available on Instagram, so I'm at Tall Gilozeri.
Awesome. I have 5 questions for you. They're my quickie questions.
Okay.
Ask my guests.
I'll try my best. Yes.
Okay. What's your biggest turn on?
People telling me that they're people who are really into me. And that is so embarrassing to say.
I love it. No embarrassment.
My wife is, she'll be laughing.
Okay, good. Well, we're all into it. So, okay, biggest deal breaker.
Deal breaker, like in a relationship?
Yeah. Or if you met, deal breaker in a relationship.
Dishonesty.
Okay. Sexiest body part to you?
Butt.
Okay. Your go-to first date?
Go-to first date. Coffee shop. Sorry.
You're already there working.
Sorry. I'm already there working. Yeah. Ladies, do you like a laptop?
Exactly. Bring your laptop. It'll be a good time. What would be the top of your sex music playlist?
Okay. This is... I'm only saying what comes to my mind. This is so fucking embarrassing.
This is so fun.
Because I use it in college, and it's Lenny Kravitz. Oh God, Believe? Is that the song?
Yeah.
Do you remember that song?
I do.
Oh God.
Yeah, I love Lenny
Kill
Kravitz.
Me. Kill me now.
Yeah. I know the era.
Are you a music person when you have sex? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I am.
You are. Okay.
Yeah. I listen to a little bit.
Can you give me
a
suggestion of anything that would not embarrass me?
No, I'm trying to think what we listen to. I like hip hop.
Okay.
I really do when I'm having sex. Something like
With a beat.
Yeah, with a beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you're running a 5K.
Exactly. Sort of. You know why I like it, though?
What?
You know why sex and music is great? Because we all get a lot of people get distracted during sex. And
if you have music
to listen to, you're going to, at least you won't be as obsessive.
See, I have a tendency to try to make jokes, which is not a good thing.
Wait, during sex?
During sex. I'm like, I have an issue because of like when I'm nervous or I'm like, I want to like, I have to like make jokes. That's how I sort of like diffuse a situation.
And you're a comedy writer.
That's exactly, which is good in some, areas, but like in other areas, it's like, don't do that.
Yeah. You can be funny all the time, but not here.
Not here, yeah, exactly.
Or in the coffee shop. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I
really appreciate it.
This is so great. Yeah. I love what you guys do. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you. It's great to see you. Thanks for being here. Gilozeri, check him out. Gilozeri.com and Tall Gilozeri on Instagram. Check out Big Mouth on Netflix. You have to. Please. Do yourself a favor. We're going to take a quick break, but stick around. After word for our sponsors, I'll be answering your questions. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. We've got Jackie, 24, from Boston, and she's seeking some blowjob tips and feels abnormal for lack of sexual experience. Jackie, thanks for calling in. You've come to the right place.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey. So, basically, when I was a freshman in high school, I witnessed, you know, a lot of my guy friends talking about girls they had hooked up with and just kind of making fun of maybe, like, their preferences, something about their bodies, maybe something that was weird that happened while they were having sex. And that made me super insecure. So I actually avoided like all hookups, sex, all of that for a long time. And now I'm 24. I've only had sex with 2 different people, total of like 3 times. Up until a few weeks ago, I had never given a blowjob. And those insecurities are definitely the reason why I'm just so, you know, sexually inexperienced. And I wanted to see if you had any advice on how I can kind of get out of my comfort zone and have a better sex life.
Absolutely. Well, first off, I love that you know that this is because you can kind of pinpoint it to the people in high school and not wanting to be that person that they talked about. And so now you're like, okay, so let's go to it. So first of all, I think we have this notion that everyone, we should be so experienced and we should already know what we're doing. But, you know, you're 24 years old. I think in your head, whatever you're thinking, that everyone's way far ahead of you, they're not.
Okay.
I just want you to feel good about that. Know that, like, this is the kind of thing, like, you learn on the job. Penises are different. Vulvas are different. So if you can kind of just rest into that, knowing that, like, every time you face a penis, it's a new penis. It's a new day. They all want different things. I mean, there are some basic things I can talk to you about blowjobs, but I want to work on your anxiety around this first. Just knowing that, like, my number one tip for a blowjob is being into it and being enthusiastic, like, wanting to be there. So just know that, like, that, and that's just like, I'm into it, I'm licking this, I'm trying, you know, and then asking for, you know, hey, how does this feel? So you're good. But I am going to give you more tips, but just know that you're starting from a great place.
Okay, so, that makes me feel better.
Okay, good. That's what we want to do. So we've got that. And so here's some important tips about a blowjob. You want to make sure that it's wet enough, right? So you have enough, like, saliva. I think lube is great. Like, have some lube by the bed. You know, have some lube with you. Okay. Sometimes our mouth isn't wet enough. So just so you have it nearby, you want it to be wet. And for so many blowjobs, your hand is like your best friend. Like, it's really not just about, like, your mouth going all the way down, like, deep throat, the whole thing you see in porn. So the first thing is you want to make sure it's wet enough. The second thing is that you want to make sure that there's enough friction. And so you want, like, you know, we could start with your hand, like, going up and down and on the shaft. And just, you know, and putting your mouth over the tip. The tip is, for a lot of guys, the most sensitive part of the penis. And also the frenulum, which is the spot where, and a lot of guys don't even know this, so I'm letting you in on something that they don't even know this, that where the tip meets the shaft on the other underside of the penis, right? So there's this little spot on the, right on the shaft as it attaches. So it's the underside, and it's just like, it's kind of like how women have like a G-spot, but for men, it's like this really sensitive spot. So when you're like licking his penis, you can kind of focus on that area and move your tongue around. So really, you want to make sure it's wet. You've got some friction with your hands. You're going up and down, and you're like, you know, sucking on the tip, taking your mouth around, using, you know, licking it like it's the most delicious ice cream cone you've ever had, and you're into it. Not like a fake amazing into it, but if you have to fake it at first, fine. And then ask for feedback. Be like, how is this? And I think it's really hot if you're vulnerable with a guy and you're like, I don't have a lot of experiences, but I want to give you the best blowjob ever. Or I really want to turn you on. Tell me what feels good. And you're into it. You've already, like, you're light years ahead of some woman who's pretending that she knows everything when you don't. So ask him, do you like your balls played with? How does this feel? I think it's okay, because believe me, guys would rather have a good connection and get what they want as well. So that you could learn along the way. But no apologies, no, I'm sorry. No, I don't know. More like, this is new. I'm excited. Let's do this. Tell me what feels good.
Oh,
no teeth,
okay.
Too.
I like that approach to it.
Yeah. So.
That makes it seem less scary.
Yeah, good. That's what I want for you because it's really not scary. It's just a new thing. You're going to get into it. You're going to learn to love it or like it, and you're going to be great. So.
Awesome.
And also, you probably know the teeth thing. That was the first thing I learned. They're like, no teeth. So you kind of just want to make sure that your mouth is going over your teeth.
Yeah.
You probably know that. That's like BJ lore.
Very
no
important.
Teeth. Okay, you got this, girl. Thank you so much for calling Sex with Emily.
Awesome.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye, Jackie. You're so welcome. You guys, let's talk about sexual I'm putting this in air quotes, inexperience. I think we all worry like, oh, I'm not experienced and I should know so much more. And I just think, can we all just get rid of that? You should be coming from some other place and you should know so much more. Every time you're with a new partner, it's a new experience to connect with that person. And if you're in the moment, you're present and you're paying attention to that person, their reactions, what they're into, you're asking questions, then that's going to be the best kind of sex you can have with that person in that moment, paying attention, being present, not tripping in your head about what you don't know. Okay. So love this call. Thank you for calling. Okay. We're talking to Nicole. She's 24 in Mexico and she wants to know how to make FaceTime calls more sexy when you're in a long distance relationship. Hey, Nicole.
Hello.
Hello. Well, I got to tell you, there's good news right now because there's been several studies that have come out that have said that it's the best time to be in a long distance relationship, that they actually work out more frequently than we think. And with today's technology, there's a lot more success. So I just want to tell you that, you know, the odds are in your favor here before we get started.
Good.
Okay, cool. So tell me what's going on. Tell me your question.
Okay, so I've been in a relationship with this guy for, we're going on close to 6 months. We haven't met in person yet. We're going to in December. But every time we are on FaceTime and things get a little steamy or sexual, I feel like everything is focused on me, which I'm like, okay, I really appreciate that you're trying to get me off. But like, I want him to have fun too. And I am not so good at getting that started.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to approach the topic of, hey, I feel like you're not really participating you should.
Okay. Yeah. No, I understand. But let me back up for a second. So you have never met him in real life yet?
Not yet.
Okay. So it's all been FaceTime calls mostly?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you guys meet?
We met off of social media. We ended up following each other through weird circumstance and then started talking.
Okay. Well, it might be cool for you guys, before you actually meet him, to really get to know each other and kind of build intimacy without the sex stuff right now. So you could have like a FaceTime date where you both, like, you're having dinner, you're having a glass of wine. So it's like you're actually like having a real date, but you're sitting, you know, you're staring into your computer screens at each other, your phone. And then you could have some conversations where you're really, you know, learning things about each other, and you could like play a game. Like there's some really fun sex games, ways that you could kind of get more information and learn and connect in an intimate level, like the emotional intimacy before the sex, to find out more about each other. Because there's been a lot of buildup here, it seems, and I would just love to sprinkle in some more of emotional connection. And then that might make it a lot easier for you to kind of want to give back. So that's just my suggestion, but I can answer your question as well. So I understand also that does that make sense to you, or is that something that you're interested in?
Oh, yeah, it does. It totally does.
Okay. What would you like him to do? Like, what would you like the result to be? You want him to get naked? You want to tell him what to do?
I mean, I feel like I'm not good at dirty talk.
Right, okay.
So, like, ideally, I would like to get better at that and, like, get him more involved and, like, see more of him.
Right. Like get naked, like drop your pants.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's doing that with you right now. So he's like, hey, like you're hot, you know, I can't wait to touch you. Take your pants off. Like, is that how it's going down right now when you talk to him?
Pretty much.
Okay. And so because dirty talk is challenging for a lot of people, right? And then you don't met him yet and you're staring into his eyes. So you don't even you can't even bury your head in his chest during sex. You're like looking at him on the screen. So that's, you know, that is another edge. So, I mean, here's the thing about dirty talk. Dirty talk 101, because it's comfortable for a lot of people. And it's the kind of thing where you could watch porn, you could read erotica, but you really have to find your own voice with dirty talk. But the good news is, my best advice for dirty talk is either you describe something that has happened in the past, is that you would like to happen in the future, or something that you want to happen in the moment. So I think just saying like, oh, it'd be so hot, you know, you're so hot, I love looking at your abs or whatever he's showing you, like, take your pants off, you know, I'd love to see, you know, your cock or whatever you'd feel comfortable saying, like whatever is actually true for you, you know. And then, but I don't know, like on FaceTime, you haven't met him yet, and the escalation of that, I think it's just, it might be awkward. Just know that it might be, it's not going to feel great. Like, I don't think you're going to do it the first time, be like, I'm a natural, the first sentence that comes out of your mouth. But it's about developing it on your own. You could also try in the shower. Be like, you've talked to him enough. You could be like, okay, I know how this goes down. He's sitting in his room. I can see him from the waist up. And then you could just think about, what would I want to say to him in the moment? Like, what are you feeling, you know, that you'd like to see? And then put words around that. And with dirty talk, another thing is, talk a little slower, you know, a little bit of a deeper voice, but not like a, hey, baby. But, you know, your own deeper, slower voice. And then just
okay,
see how he reacts to that. But I don't want you to do it just because you think that he wants. I mean, if you really want to do it for him and you want to see him naked, that's awesome. But you said you want to give back to him. So make sure that it's something that you actually, you want for yourself. And not just because you think that that's what he wants. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Okay, cool. Well,
thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Nicole. Good luck with this. And I hope it all works out when you guys meet each other in person.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks for calling
Sex with Emily. So when I first heard this, I thought, oh God, you guys haven't met yet. Because here's my thing. If you meet someone online or wherever, a lot of people just have this, you know, they get into these whole relationships and we idealize people and we just assume that we create whole relationships. We've never met someone in person. We haven't like touched them and smelled them and we don't know about the pheromones and all those things. So meet someone as soon as possible before you stretch out the relationship. So that's what I wanted for Nicole here, but kind of get the emotional intimacy and the physical intimacy. And yeah, that's what I think, Nicole. Let us know how it goes. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but stick around. Don't go anywhere. After a word from our sponsors, I'll be answering more of your questions. We have Lydia. She's 28 from Seattle, and she feels a lack of sexual connection with her partner, not getting a lot of oral, and there's a lot going on here. Hey, Lydia. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thank you so much, Emily, for talking with me today.
Of course. Tell me what's going on.
All right. So my boyfriend and I are very in love and couldn't be in a more compassionate and playful relationship. We're both very open and honest with one another. Nothing is too taboo to discuss, especially sex.
Great.
But unfortunately, the sexual aspect of our relationship has gone pretty stale. And the reason is pretty delicate. And the soul-crushing phrase, is it in, kind of comes to mind.
Oh, okay.
Yes. His penis is definitely on the smaller side, but I'm not trying to stir up whether or not size matters, because I've always been a believer in, it's not how deep you fish, it's how you wiggle your worm.
Yes, I haven't heard that one. I've always heard not the size of the ship, it's the motion of the ocean, but okay, I got you. All right.
Yeah,
that's a great one. Okay.
Yeah, and although we have a whole like drawer full of sex toys and things to spice sex up, even our foreplay has kind of become robotic. Mm. I find I'm only getting myself off with vibrators, and we've been together for almost 2 years, and he's never given me an orally stimulated orgasm.
Okay.
And he goes down on me and vice versa, but it's been almost 2 years of me coaching him and guiding him and never really achieving the goal.
Okay.
And I've always been more than happy to give pleasure, but part of the fun lies in your partner giving you, you know, mind-blowing orgasms.
Exactly.
But when I'm only giving them to myself, it's like part of the fun is gone. And
absolutely. No, I totally get
it.
I'm wondering, okay, so wait, I'm trying to understand. First of all, you're saying it's the size of the penis we don't really think is the issue. It's more about you really want some more oral satisfaction.
I think just him giving me orgasms, period, would be super.
Got it.
Awesome.
You're like, I'm not picky here. However I got the orgasm, I want it. So yeah. you said you've tried to explain to him, though, right? You've explained how you want oral, or you've talked about it, right? Like how you'd like him to go down.
Yeah, you know, I'll go into depth and be very thorough and explain what my needs are and what feels good and what doesn't. And
have
I've
you guys
even tried to?
How about mutual masturbation?
Yeah, we've done that before, plenty of times.
Okay. Have you had orgasms through oral sex before with previous partners?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so it's been 2 years. What do you think it is?
I've asked, and I think oftentimes when I ask, he kind of gets kind of self-conscious, and he sits down on himself, and he thinks he lacks the ability, even though I totally think he can do it.
Right, he can. You can do it. You can do it. So, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think I can. Encouraging.
Are you guys talking about this outside the bedroom, or are you giving him instructions in the moment?
Yeah, more so in the moment.
Yeah, so it might be that he's kind of in the moment going, oh, you know, he can't really settle into it because he's waiting for the next marching orders, right? Like, to the left, to the right. So I think we might have to, like, kind of slow this whole thing down with him, and maybe it's, like, the way that you talk about it, because it sounds like, you know, he wants to please you, and you guys are in a very loving relationship. So I think just kind of mixing it up and maybe talking about it, like, outside of it when you guys are like, you know, let's, like, just talk about this oral thing, baby. You know, I super attracted to you, and let's just try to, you know, talk about this together. You could even masturbate while he's just watching, so it's not even like a mutual situation. He's just like really watching what you do, but also just talking and saying, like, well, how would he best like to learn? Like, asking him a little bit more questions, because clearly it's not working in the moment, and you could tell him, like, I have the utmost confidence in you. I know it's going to happen. Maybe it's the way I'm explaining it, and you guys could kind of, like, take it outside of the bedroom, and then you know, talk about it and explain, like, your pleasure and how you like. So what do you, because I'm just trying to understand, what do you think, if other people have done that before, does it feel to you in the moment that he's nervous and you're like, move your tongue this way, and you're like left and he's going right?
I definitely sense he's nervous, like, in the moment when I do that, but before I do that, no.
Maybe we take this off the table for a little bit. I don't know how long this has been. I know you're like, it's already been off the table, but maybe there has to be some more connecting in other ways. Like, maybe you also, besides the oral, some intimate connections where you guys are like, just, you know, a sensual massage, and you're like connecting in those kind of ways. And then he can kind of feel like he's giving you pleasure in other ways, and then going into the oral.
It's funny that, because I'm actually a massage therapist.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. I don't want to use the word desensitized, but
so you don't want a massage. I'm just trying to think of what would be something. Oh my god, that's so funny. I should just marry a masseuse. It's my favorite thing ever, getting a massage. But I think that it's more about, like, him, you know, if you're touching yourself, and then, like, he can kind of, like, you're getting yourself turned on, and it's not about him. So then he's, let him know that it's cool, you love him, like, in a casual, like, let's just try it again, but I don't want you to be stressed out, babe. I wait my whole life for us to figure this out. So take the pressure off of him, and then he's kind of watching how you touch yourself. So either using a toy or your fingers, and then he's kind of following along. You know, so because I'm not sure, it might be in that moment thing. You're right. Like, I get nervous in the moment if someone's trying to teach me something, you know, so I use a toy. It's true. It's just my thing. I think, oh, no, am I going to do this right? You know, so it's like, I think it's the way we all learn differently. So maybe he's visual without the pressure of it having to happen, because you're pleasing yourself in that moment and he's watching, and he could ask questions. You guys can make it fun. He could use a toy, you know, he could use a toy on you. You could use a toy, and then you go down on him after, rather than it being mutual.
Right.
Yeah, I think. Okay. How about that? How about you try some of that?
That sounds good to me.
Yeah, lots of lube. I mean, yeah. So that's what I suggest. I think that a lot of times we just keep, you're saying it the same way and you're explaining it the same way to them, but just kind of switching the way you communicate might be the thing that works.
Right.
So let me know how it goes.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you very much, Emily.
Thank you so much, Lydia, for calling. I appreciate it. Okay, you guys, so, you know, this is a really good point. I love this call, because think about it. We often think that we've told our partner so many times and they're just not hearing us. Even just the art of the communication and saying something different or at different times. Some people are visual learners. Some people need to hear things 10 times. So just kind of, you know, rather than saying I'm beating them over the head with it, think of how you can change the way you're delivering the message. And then there'll be more orgasms for all. We have Chad. He's 30 in Utah, and he wants to know how to bring up sex in a positive way. Hey, Chad. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you for taking me.
Of course. I am here for you. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so I actually have a really great relationship with my wife talking about sex. It's actually been really fun and kind of led me to your guys' podcast and conversations just with her. But as I've listened to you guys, I actually want to have more of these conversations outside of, you know, just my wife, you know, with maybe friends or other couples. And so I wondered if, you know, had any experience and advice on, you know, how to get that with other people. You know,
I love this
question.
Like
you have heard you say that guys don't talk about it enough to each other either. So
they don't. They don't. God, Chad, this is like a dream question because this is going to set an example for so many people because we don't talk about it enough. And, you know, I always say, like, be that friend that brings it up. So now you're saying, how do I bring it up? So do you picture yourself like hanging out with your guy friends?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Even there, like, because I think in past experience, guys, you know, especially at a late high school, early college age, it's more about, you know, the score. Or,
yeah, exactly.
You know, who I was with, or I saw her nude picture.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
Know, something like that, but
or
it's not.
I banged her, I didn't bang her. I want to bang her friend. Yeah. End of story. Yeah. So, okay, Chad, this is great. So I think when you're talking to your guy friends, you could even blame it on me. My wife and I, we've been listening to this podcast, and I realized, like, I talked to my wife, but I'd love to hear, like, let's talk about your sex life, or how often do you have sex, or what's your sex life? This is what we've been doing. How about this? I've been with my wife, and, you know, we actually talk about sex in this way that's actually really helped us. And I'm wondering, do you and your wife talk about sex? So actually, you can start the talk about sex asking them if they talk about sex with their partners. And then from there, you'd be like, yeah, well, what kind of things you talk about? And you could even share. So that's how it starts. And seeing if they're comfortable with that, just saying, do you guys talk about it? And then your friend might just say, yeah, we do. Let them know. I think being authentic and being honest here and saying, you know what? I realize that it's really helped my wife and I, but I don't really talk to my friends about it. Would you feel comfortable talking about it? Like, about your experiences, or, you know, what kind of information would you like to find out, Chad? Like, how do you see the conversation going down?
Oh, like, I'm interested in what you guys are talking about, you know, with, like, masturbation habits. And,
right.
And even what they do to their spouse that they wouldn't wish. They wish their spouse would be into, or if they've talked about those type of things with their spouse, or things that are off limits in the bedroom, or
I think
the kinks and the fetishes that I hear you guys talk about.
Exactly.
All the time.
I think that's great. I mean, I think, you know, not everyone's going to be down with it, but I've found in my experience that most people are. When they hear what I do for a living, they're like, oh my God, we don't talk about it enough. So I think you're going to have a lot of luck in this department, and you just want to start off like, so what's your kink? But just like, hey, I got to ask you something. I know we've never talked about this before, but I'm asking for a reason. I have found that talking about sex with my wife has really changed the landscape of our relationship, and I want to know, do you have experience with that? I think it'd be, you know, I always wonder, like, what do other people talk about? And then you're going to see if they open up. And I think it'll just become a natural conversation. And what I love about this is that I think it actually really enhanced the intimacy you have with your guy friends. You know, I think that guys should talk about this more. So I love it. How does that sound?
I like it.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Good. And just, you know, keep asking questions, see if they're comfortable. It might take them a second. And also, you could also let them know, like, you know, dude, I'm not asking for, you know, I'm safe. You know, I'm not going to be talking to anyone else about this. I just think that, you know, I'm not going to be sharing it. I mean, hopefully make that pack. Like, a lot of my friends talk to me about their husbands or their wives, and I, you know, I don't share it. It's a safe place. So you can let them know, like, yeah, this isn't about gossip. I actually think we could learn from each other. And I think that would just be an incredibly brave, authentic moment and could change your relationship. So, yeah.
I like it. Thank you.
Okay. I like it too, Chad. Let me know how it goes. I love that.
Okay. No problem.
Thanks, Chad. Have a great day. Thanks for calling Sex with Emily. I love this. I love when people listen to the show and then they call and they're like, I want to try that thing that you suggested. You guys, I think that we all learn from each other. And so to have a man calling up and saying, I really would love to hear what's going on in my friend's sex life, not for titillation, but just to learn, is amazing. So that made my day. Thank you, Chad. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast, and share this with a friend or partner. You can find me on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Sex with Emily. Oh, I've been told I give really good email. So sign up at sexwithemily.com. And while you're there, check out my free guides and articles for more ways to prioritize your pleasure. If you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, call my hotline, 559-TALK-SEX. That's 559-825-5739. Or go to sexwithemily.com/askemily. Special thanks to Acast for powering the Sex with Emily podcast. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.